We are here with Field Roberson. This is April Curtis interviewing today. It is July 18th, and it's a little bit after 3 in the afternoon.
Right.
And I'd like you to state your full name, if you could, for us.
My name is Field Roberson.
All right.
Junior. Yes.
Where were you born?
I was born in Swainsboro, Georgia.
All right. Okay. And were you the oldest child?
No, it was eight kids. I'm right in the middle.
Yeah?
8 kids. My mother had 5 boys and 2 girls.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. And you have a wife? And what's her name?
Well, my first wife, her name Ruth Robinson, but I married again to a lady now named Leia Robinson.
Okay.
She's from Selma, Alabama.
All right.
We turned Cane around on that bridge. Yes.
All right. And when were you born? What was your birthday?
1927, April 22nd, 1927.
Oh, I was born in April, too.
Yeah, I'm 77 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 77 years old.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what I would like to talk about or ask you about today is, when did you come to this part of the country?
I think it was 1940, at least in about 42, 43.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And why'd you come to Union County?
Well, my mother-in-law, Lucky Trice, was my brother-in-law. He was out here. He was in the service. And he was out here, and then my sister-in-law, he married my sister-in-law. She came out here. And then my mother-in-law came out here, and then I came out later.
So did you
My wife and I. Mm-hmm.
Did you come out to work, or?
No, I just come out to visit, but after I got out here, I stayed.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Why'd you decide to stay?
Well, I decided to stay because I liked it, you know. It's the first place I ever settled in. I lived in Florida 9 years. You know Neil?
Mm-hmm.
Neil is my son.
Oh.
Yeah. He was born in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And he was born after a guy that I worked for in the Orange Groves. I was down there with hard time.
You worked in the Orange Groves?
In the Orange Groves. Spraying. I was a caretaker.
Oh, I see.
You know. I named Neil after Neil Potter. Yes.
Uh-huh. So what did you like about Union County? What made
well,
you
I liked
decide
about,
to
Well, I liked, I just liked the Union County. When I got here, I liked Union County. I met Mr. Dave Baum.
Who was that?
You know, he was the big man in this. He was the big man this time.
What was his story?
His story was he just was a man believing in helping people. And believe in trying to see people, if you wanted to, get on top, you know. See, a lot of people in this town didn't like him, but I liked him because he was a good friend of mine. He was a friend from the time I met him, from the time he died.
What did he do here in Union County?
Dave Baum, he was an insurance man. And do you know Ray Baum?
Yeah.
That's his son.
Oh,
Dave Baum, that's his son.
Oh.
Yeah. But they was small then. They were little boys then.
So what were they like as little boys?
Yeah, they were good boys.
Yeah?
I never had no problem in this town. Everybody treated me good and still treat me good.
So you never had any problems with racial...
No.
Anything?
No names or no racial, whatever, you know. People in this town treated me good. And then I had a job moving mail from the Union Pacific Railroad for 9 years.
What was that like?
Well, it was just me. I had to meet 6 trains a day. I couldn't go no place. But it was 3 trains going each way a day. And I had to meet the train and deliver the mail to the post office. I didn't have nothing to do with the mail. Just pick up the mail and pick up the mail and deliver it to the train. And then I had to pick up the mail from the train and deliver it back to the post office.
Hmm.
Yes. And then after that, I started working for myself just... working around in yards and whatever, still doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what were the trains like at that time?
I mean, well, it was nice. 17, 18. That's good. It was nice.
Yeah,
I had
they
three
like?
Train. I had a train at 4 o'clock in the morning. I had a train at 7 o'clock, and I had a train at 11 o'clock, and I had a train at 2:30. And then east, I had a train come in at 7 o'clock, no, 106, And then I had one come in at 7 o'clock, and then the next one come in at next, just rotated around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just rotated around, yes.
Mm-hmm. What were those trains like? I mean, what they look like?
Just like the other now, just only they just had mail trains on there. It was a shorter train.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It was a passenger train. You don't remember when the passenger train come through here?
No, I wasn't with you then.
Yeah, this was a passenger train, yeah. Just like in other places. Well, I guess you don't live in other places. But it was just like in other places. Just was a short train, maybe 20 cars, mm-hmm. you know.
Did they have food served on the train?
Oh, yeah, they served food. That's what I came out here on the train.
Oh, you did?
I came out here from Philadelphia on the train.
Uh-huh.
See, I was born, as I said, I was born in Georgia. But my parents married a guy from the north, and they moved to the north, then I came out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you came out here because your family came out here.
My wife's mother was here, and sister-in-law, well, she is still here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What was that like, that train trip from?
It was nice. It was a long ride. It was nice.
Uh-huh.
And I never forget, I got broke, and I had 4 kids.
Uh-huh.
And the guy on the train fed us from, I think, from Chicago till we got here. You know? Mm-hmm. Because we thought maybe a few dollars would take you a long way, but he ran out of money. That's when we ran out of money, you know.
No.
I told the conductor that we didn't have no money, so we were going into Oregon. He said, well, we'll take care of you, which they did.
All right.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. The people were so nice, you know. I had a little boy in diapers, and so everything was nice, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what was La Grande like when you first got here? What are the differences?
Grand, it's been a lot of changes. You know, like, it used to be a time, like, the secret. And the bomb. And then that was the Zenneman border camp. They owned downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Could I hold off for
sure, a minute? Let me stop it. Go for it. You can go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what do you want to talk about?
Well, you got here, and you got off the train.
Yeah, I got a job, yes. I got a job. My brother-in-law, he used to clean furnaces, Lucky Tries. He had a little shoeshine parlor downtown. And then, a certain time of year.
Shoeshine parlor downtown.
Yeah. He used to shine shoes.
Oh.
And block hat, you know.
What was he like?
Oh, he was an older guy. Had been in the service.
Uh-huh.
He's the one that caused me to be out here, really. Yeah, and he's my brother-in-law. And he and I married 2 sisters.
Okay.
Yep, so my mother-in-law came out here, and then she got a job working around different people, and they got to liking her when she come into own a lot of property here.
Now, where was the shoeshine place located?
It was right there where the UPS at.
Oh.
Right across from Pioneer Federal Bank. It was a little small place right in there. Virgin shop. He had a little shop in there too.
How many seats?
3 seats.
And one person working or?
One person working.
Uh-huh.
And he could take care of the business.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So from that, he had a furnace cleaning there.
Now what was that?
Clean out your furnace, like when in the wintertime, like when you burn all your soot and stuff. In the stove, get all dirty and everything. He cleans them out during the summer, and have them ready for the winter. You know.
So you helped him do that?
I helped him do that. Then he plied snow, and I helped plow snow. And after he died, and then I took over.
So yeah. How did you plow snow then?
We had a Jeep with a plow on the front end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeep with a front end plow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did you get your customers? Did you just go to?
Well, people just. After you was here a while, people know you plow snow and people was calling you to come through their snow. You know, and then we had a regular route that we do. You know, just like every year, you gonna take care of my snow this winter? So sure, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the neighbor would do the same. And so we just got all the business we wanted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you were pretty entrepreneurial about deciding what you were going to do and
really,
different jobs.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and then after that, after the snow was over, one time, then I started trimming trees. I trimmed trees for about 10 years.
Uh-huh. So how did you learn how to trim trees?
Well, I learned on my own.
You did?
It was hard times that I need a job. Uh-huh. And so I just got up in the tree and started cutting trees and started shaping them up good. People liked it, and they started calling me.
Now, how did you figure out which limbs to cut and things?
Well,
like that?
I look at, well, I get up in the tree and I can tell which limb to cut. Because during that time, we were topping them straight across. But now you can't do that. You got to thin them out. You can't cut the top side. Mm-hmm. You can't cut the top side, you know. But now you can't, you just had to thin them out, you know.
And did you go door to door asking people?
No. People called me.
They call you?
After they got to know who I was, you know. And I was determined to do that kind of work, you know. Mm-hmm. Yep, it was calling me to come and take care of the trees and the yard. And, you know, I was a handyman, mm-hmm. you know. I was a man, I need to work and I had to work. And so just was never come to hand, then I take over, you know. That's what happened, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So were you doing handiwork all over town? Or
all over town.
Yeah.
And still done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm 77 years old.
Do you still have some of the same customers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I used to have their parents, but now I got the kids now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got the kids now. They Mr. Baum just passed in this morning. He's a lawyer, you know, Dave. He just passed in this morning, you know. Mm-hmm. But every Christmas, his father was good to me. In fact, about everybody this time been good to me and still good to me.
So what do you mean? What did they do? They give you a bonus?
Well, and like during the Christmas time, if I need anything, they always call me and say, Fee, you need anything? Or you know somebody, you know, like some people didn't have nothing to go up on for Christmas. But I always look out for another day, you know. My grandfather told me a long time ago, son, remember this. You're doing good. The sun ain't going to shine every day. It's going to be a rainy day. There's going to be a lot of days you can't get out there in that weather, you know. And so I saved up and looked out for that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you celebrate Christmas?
I celebrated big time. I had everything I needed, stuff I didn't need. And I had stuff to share with other people that didn't have nothing, you know. I share with a lot of people today didn't have enough to go around amongst their kids, you know. You know, there's a lot of people in this town or other places could do better. If they want to do better. Ma'am, I used to drink and I used to smoke, but I don't do that no more. After Christ coming in my life, he made a new man out of me.
When did that happen?
It happened 5 years ago. When I had an operation, I had an open heart surgery. And I had 5 new valves put in me. If I said, Lord, if I can do without cigarettes and whiskey now, I'll serve you. From now on, and Christ has been in my life ever since. I won't let the sun go out on me today if I know I do somebody wrong. Because you got the God is looking at you. You know what you're saying. You know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to do in the morning time before you wake up. And I tell others, God is so good. He is merciful. He'll do the same thing for you he'll do for me. You know, I have talked to a lot of people. They said, a black man got a better chance than a white man. I said, why do you think of that? I said, you get out in that sun 90 degrees, it's going to shine on you just as hot. It's going to shine on you just as hot on me as it would on you, you know. I said, but I tell you what, you better think another way, you know. So that was it, you know. But what nomination are you?
Well, I consider myself a Protestant.
Protestant.
I have some questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Well, that's good.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to when you first got here. I wanted to kind of know about the differences between Le Grand now
in other places?
And then. Yeah, but then, and difference between that Le Grand now and then.
The
what
hardest
was it like
place,
when you
the hardest, started? Well, the really, it wasn't hard for me because I tended my own business island when I lived in Georgia. Georgia was rough. A black man had a hard time in the South. A black man had a hard time in the South. But if you, where I lived with some white people, they was good to me. They took care of me, they treated me good. But some people, they were real mean to them, you know. Mm-hmm. So I didn't deal with those people. I stayed on the side, on the good side of the fence. Mm-hmm. On the good side of the fence, yeah.
Where did you live when you first moved here?
I lived on Madison. I had owned 2 houses. Well, I didn't own them then, but I bought 2 houses over there. See, I got one over there.
Oh.
Before I bought this house, I moved off of Madison. You know where Madison Street?
Mm-hmm.
I moved off of Madison Street here in this house. I've been in this house in about 35 years.
Mm-hmm. What was Madison Street like when you first came?
It was a street where all the hoboes get off the train, walk up and down that street. You know, and they used to come by and want you to give them some bread or some food.
What, they ride the rails? Or?
Yeah. They wanted to know, would you give them some food? Or would you have, did you have a pop or something you could give them? And we were glad to help those people, you know. We have had people sleeping in my yard all night long. They didn't have nowhere to sleep. We knew they was out there, you know. We closed our doors. But we didn't have the trouble they have now, like people are hurting people or killing people or doing that kind of stuff. It was a later, about two doors down, we went to church one Sunday. When we were coming home, she was dead. So somebody had killed her and never did find out her name was Buttercup.
When was this?
That was about old. That's been about 20 years ago.
Oh. Was she living in the same area?
Yeah. Two doors where we live. Oh. And all our kids out playing, so they never did find out who done it, you know.
Huh. Did they think it was someone that was...
Well, they don't know who done it, really, you know, because she was a lady last to get drunk, and she dealt with a lot of men and stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wasn't in no kind of business or nothing, but she just liked to drink, and men come around, she dealt with drinking. So we don't know what happened, you know.
Hmm.
All we know, it happened one evening when the sun was going down, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
You weren't living over there then?
Yes.
You were living over there?
I was living over there. Yes,
oh.
I was living over there.
So were you ever...
But we was out of town that particular Sunday. We was in Yakima. And that particular Sunday we came home and they were saying that the Buttercup had got killed. Somebody had strangled her.
How old was Buttercup?
She was in her 60s, 65, 70 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
She live alone?
Yeah. I bought the house right next to her. I got a house over there right next to her.
Mm-hmm.
The house she died in, you know.
Was there a big search for what happened?
Yeah, it was a big search, you know. Just like it was a lady up on Morgan Lake Road. She was a white lady, a young lady,
mm-hmm.
and they never did find out who killed. Three people in this town got killed. They never did. Down here in Candy Cane Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they
was,
never did.
So was Buttercup a black woman?
Yes, she's a black woman.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did that cause kind of a stir because?
No. It didn't cause no stir because she was a loving woman. She was a woman. She treats you nice. Anyway, she sees you, she loves to hug and shake your hand just like you was a sister or brother. She was a good woman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy she dealt with, he was an older white guy, but he didn't do that because he loved her too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They used to come by the house all hugged up and drunk every day. Yeah.
So people, was there
people,
a...
People didn't pay him no attention.
Was there a black section and white section at that time?
No.
Or
it was
no?
All, it was about half and half. On this end, it was black, and on that end, it was all white, and then on the other end of them, two more houses down, with some more black people.
Mm-hmm.
It was two black families lived there, and the kids slept with one another out in the streets and go visit one another, just like sisters and brothers, you
mm-hmm.
know? Yeah, so that's the way it was.
So how many black families were there when you first came?
Oh, I said about 15.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's only about, five, about six, seven families, eight families.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with my kids and all, yeah.
So there were more black families?
Oh,
when
yeah.
You first came?
They all went to Portland.
Oh.
And most of them is dead now because they didn't take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They were big drinkers.
Why'd they move to Portland?
Well, I don't know. This town here got too small for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got too small for me, but I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay here because I'm living good. I'm doing good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I go downtown and get anything I want. I go to Portland working out to get nothing. So I'm not going to leave. And my first wife, she went to Walla Walla.
Oh, she did?
And she doing good, yeah. She went to Walla Walla, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you keep in contact with her still?
Oh, yeah. I'm still in contact with her. I see her, I call her, talk to her quite often, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All of my kids finished school over. I got one son work for the Corps of Engineers in Walla Walla. I got one son, is a teacher. He teaches at the University of Portland now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he teaches at the University of Portland. I got one son, he worked for he's in the service. He worked for a medical hospital in Walla Walla.
Mm-hmm.
He just called me a couple of days ago that he's in Iraq. Yeah.
Oh, he is in Iraq? Wow.
But he was in the National Guard. He wasn't in the Army.
Oh.
But he was in the National Guard, but he had to go to Iraq, yeah.
So he just left with the rest of the battalion?
Yeah.
Over? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, he just left rest of the guys, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you have other children besides your three boys?
Well, I have 8 kids.
Oh, 8.
Yeah.
So where are the rest of your kids?
I have one son, one daughter, Yakima. Uh-huh. I mean, in Spokane. She married a court, and I got one dog, one son in Walla Walla, and I got a daughter in Walla Walla. And I got one son in Iraq, and Neil lives here. You know Neil?
I don't.
You know Alverson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Neil is my son.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's my son. He went to Alverson, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then I have a daughter in New Jersey. That's when I was out playing around and got caught in the crossfire. Yeah, so all my kids done good.
So you brought how many children with you when you came out?
I brought 3, 4.
With your wife?
Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. you? So you brought
and
four
I have
children?
One kid born here and one in Walla Walla.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So how was it bringing them on the train coming across?
Oh, it was kind of rough, you know, but we enjoyed it. We had plenty of room. They had plenty of room. The seats was wide, and you know, and you couldn't see that much at night. But that time, you could look out across the fields and see antelopes and mm-hmm. animals. And my kids just loved it there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my kids just loved it there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, then after I came out here and got making a little money, then I went back to visit a lot of my friends in New York City. That's when I had a pretty good time. I lived in New York City 5 years.
Oh, so you moved back to New York?
I went back and stayed 5 years.
Oh.
And then I met...
Now, when was that?
That was in 47, 48, somewhere along in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I moved back, and a friend of mine was a judge. He's a black guy. He's a circuit judge. His name is Bill Hunter.
What's that? How do you spell that name?
Hunter.
Hunter.
Yeah. But anyway, he's the circuit judge. And he and I was good friends. He and I was raised up together. He was born in Georgia, too. He and I were raised up there. We hadn't seen each other in 40 years.
Oh.
And when I went back, oh, my God, we had never part from each other again.
Uh-huh.
He calls me about 20, well, think about it, he should be calling me anytime today sometime, you know.
Has he come out to visit you here?
No, he ain't been out yet, but I go back to visit my folks every summer.
Uh-huh.
I'll be going back to New Jersey September the 1st. I'll go back there, I'll be gone for a month, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then I see all my friends, my schoolmates from Georgia and New Jersey. I got some in Clare, in the Hollywood, Florida.
Oh,
they geez. Comes up, we all meet there and we have a good time.
Friends,
you know,
all over the world.
Well, not all over the world, but all over the South, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what about your friends here?
I got a lot of friends here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
White and black, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All business people in this town is my friends. Like the John Day Place, John Struff Stubborn, and Jim Elvis, and I'm calling just a few of the contractors and things. Yeah, they're my friends, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, think about it, Jim Ellis come over to my house about every day and sit down and drink coffee and, you know, whatever, you know, and eat with me sometime. And when I have a little cookout in the back, my friend across the street, Mike Lawrence, and there's another Mike across the street. And then people pass, stopping, looking on me, you know. So we just sit down and have a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to Madison Street and talk about what it was like for your kids growing up on Madison Street.
Well, Madison Street, they only had, it was nice. Madison Street only had 3 blocks to walk to school. Miss Hutchison, Shorty Hutchison, his wife used to teach my kids.
Hutchison,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. And then Miss Cooley, she used to teach my kids.
Mm-hmm.
All my kids went to Greenwood School?
Yeah.
Yep, all my kids went to Greenwood School.
And was that a, would that have all grades or?
No, yeah, all, yeah.
Uh-huh. And yeah. How many teachers were there at that time, do you know?
Well, it was about, let me see, well, I don't know how many teachers were there, but I know Miss Hutchison, Miss Coolidge, and then Dr. Vanderbilt's wife, she used to teach my kids.
Mm-hmm. What was the school like?
It was nice. They have no problem. The kids just love going there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So after they moved away, they never forget to come by and see me. Then I got a lot of old now, you know. Some of them are sick, and some of them in nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And they come by to visit them, which is, I love that, you know. Yeah, so everything was really nice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they went to the high school here? Or?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Nia went to college here.
Oh, he did.
And I had Larry went to college here, and the rest of my kid went, excuse me, the rest of my kid went to Walla Walla. Because after my wife and I separated, she moved to Walla Walla. And they went to the Seventh-day Adventist School in Walla Walla, Waha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were all my kids from the school. Mm-hmm. And three of them went to college.
You must be very proud of them.
Oh, very proud of them. They never been in no trouble. Never give me no trouble. So I never had no trouble with none of my kids. Mm-hmm. Everything was nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you have vacations and you travel out of the state still, do you go back?
Yeah, I travel every year. We fly to Philadelphia. And my brother lived right across the river, I said, in Jersey, in Bristol, near the Wilmington-Delaware line. Only takes 45 minutes for him to pick me up. And then sometime we drive Clara, my wife, from Selma, Alabama. That's where the truck came right on. You hear talking about Selma? Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the truck came right on that bridge. Mm-hmm. That's where the truck came right on that bridge. And that's where she was born and raised at. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now who of your family was the first person to come to La Grande?
Me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm the first one and the last one and only one. Now, my brother been out here, but he lived in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were a relative of Lucky Trice?
Lucky Trice, right.
What was he like?
He was a nice guy. He was real known. People liked him. He was something like a businessman. He was a man sort of get things moving, and if somebody wanted to find out something, they used to come to him because he was the oldest black guy here. And they used to come and ask him about, Lucky, you think we should do this and we should do that? And then he'd give his opinion about it.
Now, I heard he was quite a character.
He was. He got one son. He just finished. He just retired from the service. Mm-hmm. So now he got his wife living over there. He got a son lived right up the street. And he got a daughter lives in Detroit. She met a minister, they just moved back to Detroit. Mm-hmm. And they got one son lived Spokane. Mm-hmm. Yep, and he got one son, he was always a bad apple, you know. Mm-hmm. He got one son, he stayed in trouble, he just got out of prison. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he killed nobody, like drugs and stuff, you know, things he didn't have up in his door. Mm-hmm. But he got one son, is a lawyer, with his grandson, Arthur Trice, his son, is a lawyer in Portland now. Yeah, he's
That's
a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then he got one son, one grandson, that the lady he lived with, he killed her daughter. Oh. I don't know, this is terrible. But he stopped that girl, 10 or 12 times. But they was on drugs, so I can't tell you what happened. I don't know. All I know, he killed her. Mm. And that morning, I saw that boy. He was looking just like if ain't nothing happened. He had killed that lady's daughter. They was all about the same age.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But he's in prison now, you know. So that was it. How much time you got?
Oh, we got plenty. Yeah, just making sure the tape is still rolling.
Oh, that is rolling. Yeah, I see it flipping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to when you first got there. What did you do for fun?
Where?
When you first got here and you were a young man, you had these children.
Well, I went to church and I got...
Which church did you go to?
Church of God in Christ.
Now, where was that?
Well, they tore it down now. It was Dale Jackson. He was pastor of that church.
Uh-huh. And who was it?
Church of God in Christ.
Uh-huh. And where was it located?
It was a holiness church.
A holiness church. Where was that?
Right on the corner of Fuller and Monroe.
Uh-huh. What was that like?
It was, that's where people come to worship, you know. And then so often we have a lot of people out of town to come. And it was a lot of people there in that particular weekend, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we used to go out and visit other churches. We used to go to the Nazarene, over to the Church of God, over to the Nazarene right there. You read that back of Safeway. Mm-hmm. They tore it down. Mm-hmm. And then they moved it out here on out right here by a shopping cart.
What was the service like at that church?
Good service.
What kind of service did they have at the Holiness Church?
Well, they had what they call a holy rolling.
Did they really?
Yeah, they had, you know, they had some people have serve be loud another. But they serve really loud. You know, it really makes you, if you know, like you had a small baby, Maybe because sleep was so loud. Yeah. And then, you know, it makes you wake up too, you know.
Did they have music?
Oh, yeah, I had good music.
What, a band? Or
band, no. We just had people there could just play like a guitar and had our drums and an organ or piano. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Then they sang a few songs and Gillette Redden. I'm Baptist now. We got a little small group of people over there, but we don't have a few, but you know, we got to carry on. All the people that gone, we only got about 15, 16 in row, you know, but we got to carry on because God is, well, it's just 1 or 2 months of God is there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
So the early church that you went to, how many families do you think were that went to
with
that church?
Oh, maybe about 10 families. It was, it would have quite a few people there before they moved away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before they moved away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was a Holy Roller Church. Huh?
Yeah, Holy Roller Church.
What's that mean?
Well, it means just like some churches is real quiet, and you go to some church, they makes a joyful noise, just like it's a big band, just like you go in a club where it's, the music is really loud. That's where them churches were, you know, especially when for the preacher get up to speak. You know, we get to singing and everybody testifying and the power of the Lord come in the church, you know. And so I've seen the power of the Lord hit some people knocking to the floor.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, they fall.
Were they speaking in tongues?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, they speak in tongues, yeah. And I believe in that? I do because the Lord was using some of those people. I went to Seattle one time, and my church.
Talking about the church.
Yeah, I was some of those people. I said some of those people were screaming and hollering the power of the Lord. That was youth night. That was the night the children could get up and speak their peace.
What do you mean, speak their peace?
Just like they were talking about the word of God and telling the people in the church how the Lord kept them all day, and how the Lord lifted them up, and how they want to go along with the Lord, you know. And they said, some of those kids were saying, they just sang a song, I won't let nothing separate me from the love of God. Because their parents taught them what was right and what was wrong. And they believed in that. And they were just spreading the news. Good news! Good news! Yeah, good news, yeah.
Is there a church like that now?
All over. They have churches like that all over.
Uh-huh. Is there one in LeGrand that's like that? Or?
Well, there's one in here, but they don't have the people to carry on like that. But down in Portland, in Yakima, and Totnes, and Pasco, all them places where there's a lot of people, where they got good speakers and, you know, can carry on, they got them like that now, you know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Not here in LeGrand.
Not here in LeGrand.
How long did that church go on?
It went on for, I was here for over 15 years.
Uh-huh.
Before the people started moving out. Before they started moving out, you know.
Yeah, and the pastor was who?
Sidel Jackson. He dead now.
Sidel Jackson?
Yeah.
Huh. And what was he like?
Oh, he was a good speaker. Mm-hmm. Good speaker. Well, think about it. All I goes up to Rogers Church up on Gecko. You know that little log church up there?
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a good speaker. His name is Rogers Cock, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But he is every time I get a chance, I go up to visit him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good speaker.
Was Sidel Jackson from LeGrand or lived
no,
in
LeGrand? No, he moved from Walla Walla.
Oh.
He moved from Walla Walla.
Mm-hmm. Was he a black man or white
man?
Yeah,
black man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was a black man.
Yeah, is he still alive?
We had two black. No, he's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
And LLO, he had a good. His church was a church of God in Christ.
Who was that?
LLO, he's dead too.
Uh-huh.
He used to have good sermons.
Uh-huh. Was it mostly black families or did white people go
to? Yeah, well, why did black go there? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Anybody with testing Christ, go there, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that was it, you know. Then we had a lot of people come in and looking on us, you know. They come in to tell you what the Lord has done for them. And so during the service, they usually start praying. And then they sing a few songs and each one get up and sing a song. And tell just like you. You said, look, I wanna tell you what the Lord has done for me. Personal, you know. So that's where it is, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah, so like I tell a lot of people about me. The Lord, as I say, he turned my life around. He made a new man out of me, you know. I wasn't no violent man or nothing like that, but I was out doing things I shouldn't have been doing. Mm-hmm. But I said, Lord, looking back over my life, I won't make the mistakes again. Because you know, when I leave here, I want to see Jesus. I want to see him just like I'm looking at you. I want to see him face to face. As I said, I won't let nothing separate me from the love of God. Nothing. No, I ain't going to let nothing get in my life. But you know, I can see my blessings. So many times people say, it's hard for me to get out there and make it. But you know, ma'am, I'm doing good.
Well, you've made a good life for yourself.
I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. I get out there and work every day. I got two guys work for me, and people's calling me. I turn down a job. Sometimes I can't find no job, but I just can't take on no more because I got all I can have. Mm-hmm.
So you did a lot of landscaping.
That's right.
What else did you do to make money?
Well, I did landscaping. As I said, I trimmed trees. And I already did. I didn't stop at no one job. I keeps me a lot of jobs. If somebody says, if somebody tells me, say, Phil says, I don't need you no more, I tell them thank you. Mm-hmm. If somebody's knocking on my door to come here, over here, I got a job here. You know, I worked at the Long Branch.
You did?
15 years.
Oh my God, what was that like?
It was like I get up 4 o'clock in the morning, go down there and strip, clean the floors. And
when did you do that? Do you know when that was?
I don't know what year it was. But anyway, I worked there 20 years.
You worked there for 20 years?
Well, $150 a month. But listen now, I just only go down there by the time they close. And all I've done was just clean the restrooms and mop the floor and take out the garbage. Mm-hmm. And so it changed hands 3 times while I was there. And the last time it changed hands, well, a friend of mine was in there and he said, well, Phil, I can't use you no more. I'm just getting started. Business is slow now. I said, well, I thank you, you know. But I had been there 20 years.
So then, when you first started working, what was the Long Branch like?
It was nice, you know. There was a lot of drunks and people coming there late at night, you know. And they'd be fighting and raising the sand. They didn't bother me, but because everybody know me, they treated me good.
Mm-hmm. What were the fights? There were bar fights?
Well, you know how people just get to drinking and stuff like that, get violent, you know. So that's the way it was.
So what was your jobs? What did you do in there?
All I've done was just clean the floor, sweep the floor and mop it, tear out the garbage, and that's it.
And what time did you go to work?
I go there around about 5 o'clock, because they open at 6. Well, they still open all night. But anyway, business slowed down about that time. I could work around people, you know, and all the red rollers were coming in from the depot over to the Long Branch.
Oh, they would?
Yeah. See, that's what kept the Long Branch going. The railroad guys, because they work all night. See, them trains be coming in all night long. You know, just let the train come through here now, all day and all night. Well, that was supported the Long Branch. You know?
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. That was supported the Long Branch. But anyway, after that guy fired me, Mike, I got a job at Western State. Mike was in there that morning eating breakfast, and he heard this guy telling me about he couldn't use me no more. And Mike said, Phil, come on down, I'll hire you. And I went down to Western State, I was making $150 a month down there, making 1 hour a night. I mean, about 2 hours, 1 hour in the morning time. And down here, I make $1,175 a month, working maybe an hour, 15 hours, 20 minutes a day. Oh. And I had that job ever since, 20 years.
Who was your boss?
Well, Mike Klein, but he got fired. But anyway, I got another guy now. He's the boss. His name is Dale.
And what did you do there?
I just clean, mm-hmm. dust and clean down there.
So you're doing lots of different jobs.
Lots of different jobs. I told you, I'm just a handyman. Whatever they call me to do, you know. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mow lawns, rake up leaves, got a snow deal in the wintertime. And so I'm just a blessed man, you know. So I got two guys work for me, so I pay them $8 an hour, so, you know, they keep them going.
Did you have your children work for you when they were younger?
Oh, yeah, a couple of them. I wasn't particular about them working, because their mother was pretty strict. She wasn't particular about them working. And they were mama's kids, you know. But after they got up in age, then I told them they can, when they get 18, they better get a job. Don't they going to have to go, you and they did have to go. I didn't pick my kids. I made sure they get out and got a job. Yep, I sent them to school, and I sent them to college, and all that stuff. But after they got up, you know, where they could on out on their own way to help themselves, I never had no problem on none of my kids.
And three of them went to college?
Four.
Four of them went
four,
to college?
Four of them.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, but all of them finished high school, and all of my kids got good jobs. My daughter, she's in that medical group on 2nd. You familiar with Walla Walla?
Mm-hmm.
It's on 2nd Street. She's the operator. She answers the telephones and all. Her husband works for the city. He's a minister. Mm-hmm. He works for the city. There's a lot of people. He's the only black guy working for the city of Walla Walla.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a lot of people. There's a lot of black people in Walla Walla. But you go and you think, oh, black people, there's a lot of them over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Pasco. You kind of storm with a stick when you get in Pasco. That's the place I want to live, Pasco. All the Mexicans and Indians and blacks, and they raise a lot of sand over in that area.
So why do you think that La Grande doesn't have so many diverse kinds of people? Why do you think there's not as many?
Well, La Grande always has been a pretty cool town. To me. If you want to make your bed hard, you make it hard. You want to make it soft, you can make it soft.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never had no trouble. Think about it, I don't be out at night. When sundown, I come on home.
Really?
And I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I ain't got no business at them bars. That's the only place you can go.
And so what were the bars like when you first came?
Were they just nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was no problem with the people in the bars and things like that. You know, mm-hmm. people get to drinking, some of them get a little rowdy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the ladies get rioted, so all that stuff, you know, but they didn't bother me.
So when the Long Branch was there to serve the people coming in on the railroad, were there other
anybody?
Places, were there other places around there that?
Oh yeah, the Tropidale. See, the Trop was the biggest thing going, but see, they closed it too, and everybody leave the Trop and come over to the Long Branch because it's open 24 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
And then everybody if they want to go out to dentist. You know, if somebody drinking or driving, they won't go out to dinner because they get pulled over by the cops. And,
mm-hmm.
and so they just hang out the Long Branch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they get a cab to take them home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was it.
So were there other businesses that were torn down that were along the, near the
railroad?
Well,
they had the pool hall.
Oh, they had a pool hall.
Right next to the Long Branch.
Oh, what was that called?
Shorty and Chess's pool hall.
Shorty and Chess's?
Yeah, I worked there too. I worked both places side and side.
So tell me about Shorty and Chess's pool hall.
Well, they gamble. And if you got the money to spend, they in the bank, a lot of times they have money stacked up on the table that high.
Oh my God.
Let guys come over to buy cars like on a Thursday. And he buy a lot of cars, and so they just gamble all day and all night there, you know.
So there was back rooms for gambling?
Yeah, in the back. It had a little room. It was open, but it had a room to the side, open, you know, where they gamble, you know. Yep, I worked there for, 15 years, yeah. Had the key to go in when I get ready, you know. And all the big wheels around town, they go in there and shoot dice and stuff like that, you know. And I stand there and watch them. So by they're holding me up, sometimes they leave me $150, $100, sometimes leave me $40 or $50, you know. I didn't care what they leave me, I take what they give me, you know. Yeah.
How many pool tables?
About 6. Oh, the place stay full all the time. For young people, you know, young kids go in there and shoot pool, and then a lot of times people go in there and shoot for big money. You know, but the money was back down on poker table in the back. That's where the money was at, you know. Then he sold guns, he sold cigarettes and all that, call it cigar stuff. Yeah, he sold all that kind of stuff, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Any other businesses along there that you remember around
well,
the Long Branch?
Well, there was a lot of businesses. It was the Long Branch, and then there was the Eagle, another little bar around the corner, but see, they closed at 2 o'clock, and everybody come to the Long Branch, you know. And that was the American Legion. They didn't sleep on all night, you know. And in fact, about 2 o'clock at night, everybody come there to eat before they leave to go home. And so business was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, business was good. Yeah.
So you worked at the Long Branch at the same time you were working at the pool hall?
Oh, yeah. No, no. I clean the pool, I clean the long branch, then I go to the pool hole. Because, see, I had a key to the pool. I could go in there when I get ready.
Oh.
But as soon as the business gets slow in the long branch, I go in there and clean, then I go next door and clean that, and then I come home. Yeah, and then I used to work out to the truck stop.
Oh, Flying J?
Flying J, yeah.
How long has that been out there?
Long time. A friend of mine had that till he sold it. And then after he sold it, I had to go. And then
so who was that that owned the Flying J?
Jerry Onada. He lived up on M. He lived up on N. When you leave a hospital and turn and come down in M, that first house on the right. Yeah, he used to live. He lived there.
Huh.
But he was sort of a retarded guy. He couldn't get around good, you know. But he had a good business there.
Huh.
It was good there. As I said, everybody treated me good. They were real nice to me, you know. I didn't have no enemies, and still don't have none that I know them.
Maybe we should stop for a minute, and maybe could we move into the kitchen just because the TV might be too loud? Just a moment. Okay, we're continuing our interview with Field Roberson. Okay?
I would like to say a hard time. I was born in Georgia. As I said, I was born in Swainsboro, Georgia, and I had it rough. But as I said, by God's help and my help, it was good. It's great.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have hard times when you came to LeGrand?
No. Didn't have no hard times.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I was broke, but I said I never draw the employment once in my life because I'm a working man, and I'm the man don't mind if I wanted something. I'm the man don't mind getting out asking somebody for something instead of going around taking it, because if you ask somebody for something, they'll give it to you. And there weren't many black people here at the time, and my wife she got with some rich people from the Lands.
What's your wife's name again?
Anna Ruth.
Anna Ruth?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And she got stained there on that sawmill. And there was one black lady working there, you know, as a cook and all. So they got her on up there working. So by she getting on up there, it really helped us to get on top.
So she worked at which sawmill was that?
She didn't work at the sawmill. She worked for the people on the sawmill.
Oh, who are they?
Well, stained. In the Lanza, you know, before they dead now, you
uh-huh.
know. But it wasn't boy scared then, but it was something else then. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. So what did your wife do for them?
She just cooked and just cleaned the house and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she was a handy woman.
She was a handy woman. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then she had other jobs around town. She was a maid like around town working for different other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, help carrying on, you know, until I could start to work. And then, as I said, I met Mr. Baum, and then he started helping me, you know, and gave me work up to his house and then induced me to other people mm-hmm. about working, you know.
Was he the first person that you worked for, Mr. Baum?
Yeah.
What was he like?
Good man. He was a good man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He called me Sunshine.
Sunshine.
A lot of people didn't like what they were. He was good to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was good to me, yeah.
So did he get you other work as well?
Oh, yeah. He induced me to, you know, he was a big man. And all, you know, a lot of people didn't like him because he was a man. He was a money man. He's the one calling that hospital to be at where it's at today. Mm. Do you know where Grand Round Hospital used to be?
No.
Just you going out of town right in that curve. You know, just you going out of town on the old road there. When you first go to that first car ride with a motel, the hospital used to be right there. Hmm. See, they had the Grand Round in St. Joseph. See, St. Joseph was up here on the hill by the jailhouse.
Oh.
You know, that was a Catholic hospital.
Oh.
And then after they moved out, then they moved up there.
Now, where were your children born?
I had two kids born in Florida. I had one born in New Jersey. I had one born here and two in Walla Walla.
Oh, so where was the one that was born here? Which hospital?
Up there, St. Joseph.
St. Joseph's? What was that like? What kind of hospital was that? That was a Catholic hospital?
No, it was a regular hospital.
Oh.
Yep, St. Joseph's a regular hospital.
And when did they tear that hospital down?
They tore that hospital down first. Then everybody went to the Catholic hospital.
Oh.
And then they left the county and they went up there on the hill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what, but I always thought the hospital should have been out there where the state, where they have, I mean, where, the, where you buy your driving license and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I thought the hospital should have been, you know. They could have got all that ground around it, down that end.
Mm-hmm.
Set up on that hill. But they got it pretty good there now because they had good Dr. Gregory and Dr. You know Dr. Lumpkin?
No.
Anyway, he was a good doctor. And Dr. Gregory, they was the older, but I think Dr. Lumpkin was the oldest doctor here now. Mm-hmm. When I first come to this town, I bet you there wasn't five doctors here.
Really?
And now I bet you it's over 30. There's over 30 doctors here now, yeah.
So it's grown.
Yeah, yeah. There's over 30 doctors here now.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was it.
I'm going to stop for just a second.
Well, I was saying, you know, the kids have got to want to. It's not a matter of the teacher want to give them a good education if they want to accept it. Well, see, a lot of kids get with those kids, hard-headed, and they want to smoke cigarettes and skip out of school.
So how come your kids turned out so well?
Because, ma'am, my kid, my wife just spent a rod. If my kid mess up, she get one of those switches out there and tell his rump up. You know, and if it was like that today, the kid would be much better. I've had kids crush their parents. It just makes me sick. But if my kids had to cuss me out, you wouldn't have had no hair on his head. I'd knock all the hair off his head. It's not a matter that I want to kill him or nothing, but I want to let him know when I speak to him, he hear me. My parents done the same thing for me. I didn't have a chance. I didn't get behind the fifth grade, but I can read and figure. Been some of these kids I've been to college. You know, I'm serious. If they was to take a kid from the South and bring him in this town and put them up on the stage like they used to do back when I was going to school, they could have 50 kids, a row of kids, along with that enter that building. And I'd be willing to bet the one of them kids from the South will start from the tail end and be to the head end.
So why do you think that's true?
Well, I've seen that happen. You know, they be spelling. I saw on the television where this kid was spelling these two big words. I can't pronounce those words. There were two of them, one from two different countries. And those kids spelled that word as a lot of people. It was a long word. And a lot of people, educated people, couldn't spell that word. Look at Mr. Bob, what his name? He was the vice president of, I forget what his name now. But anyway, it was a word he couldn't spell. And they kicked him about that for a long time. Yeah, they kicked him about that for a long time, you know.
So your kids did well because you were strict?
Yeah, my wife was strict on my kids. She was hard on them. She didn't let the sun go down. Them kids didn't play out in the street after dark. And she made sure they were good kids. Mm-hmm. She
so
made
what
sure.
is this being out after dark? You mentioned that you don't go out after dark.
No.
What? Why is that?
I don't have no business out there. Where is it to go after dark? If you go out and eat. And I keep plenty of food here, man. I'm a good cook. I like to cook. And my wife likes to cook. We keep plenty of food here for the kids to eat. And next thing about why I say after dark, I'm in the bed every night about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Oh.
I don't care if the sun be whipping, I'm going to bed. I'll be tired and I'll be sleeping, you know. I'll be there worked all day and I'll be tired. And I don't sit up and watch the television that much. And when the news go off, I don't care what come on. You know, so that's
so what
it.
Time do you get up if you go to bed so early?
Well, my wife gets up by 5. She used to work up to the nursing home. And she had to go to work about 5 o'clock. But after her shoulder started giving up problems, she don't work no more. So that was it, you know. So she wakes up and then she gets up and bring me some coffee. She bring my coffee to the bed every morning. She bring my coffee to the bed, you know. And I drink coffee and watch the news. Sometimes I go back to sleep because I don't go to work till by 7:30, 8 o'clock.
So do you not go out at night because when you were a young man, when you were first in LeGrand?
Well, I've been like that all my life. Ma'am, I tell you, internet in the streets with trouble. Where is it to go? Where do you go? Where you go at night?
I don't go out much at night.
That's what I asked you. because, you know, there's nowhere to go to these bars, and I don't go to no movies. Everything on television, I want to watch, you know.
Did you go to the bars when you were younger?
Sure I did.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a favorite one that you went to?
Pardon me? No. When I was drinking, ma'am, I wasn't a drunker, but I could drink one beer. And if I feel it kicking on me, you couldn't give me another beer. You couldn't give me another beer or take another drink. I never been in jail in my life. I never had no problem, you know. But as I say, there ain't nothing that ever trouble. You know, you get out there, get to drinking, and somebody get declining and all that kind of stuff, and it brings on this and that, you know. And a lot of guys wouldn't be in no trouble today if they was to take ease and when the guy started arguing and walk away from it. But they want to stand there and get big as this house. And sometimes get knocked out. Sometimes get knocked out.
So your advice for people raising their kids, their children in La Grande, is what?
You give the kids the best kind of respect. If you want to raise the kid up, you got to raise the kid up when the tree is small. See, when a tree is small, you can bend it this way, you can bend it that way. When it grow up, when it get up this big, you can't bend it. You can't bend that tree. So you got to raise the kid up. You know, when you grow up, it's nice to love your kid, be kind to your kid, and be good to them. But let them know when you speak to them, they hear you. What the word said, hard not your heart. Hard not your heart, you know. But so many times, people wait till the kids get too big. Kids get 15 or 16, then they start trying to chastise them. And that's wrong. You can rub your kid's head, you can pat them all you want to, you can love them all you want when they're small, you know. And sometimes you rub them too much, or spoil them, you know. But my kids never have said to me, I got a brother today. He practiced, see, my father died when I was small. And I got a brother raised me today. And I tell you and I tell the world, I wasn't a bit more sassy to that boy than nothing in the world. He was saying things to me that I wasn't saying to him. But you know what? I have to give him respect because he raised me up. After my father died, he was the oldest one. And he put bread on the table and put clothes on my back. And I do give him respect. And I tell him, he'll laugh a lot of times. You say, I shouldn't do that. But I said, no, bro, I couldn't do that. I couldn't say no harm word to you. And I seen the time I should have said something, but I didn't say that. I honor myself. And he thanked me for that today.
I like your tree idea with the children.
Yes.
Yeah, you get a lot from nature, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
What is it about nature that fills you? Because your house is got covered with beautiful flowers and you work on trees. What is it about nature that...
Well, you know, when I first started planting flowers in people's yard with Dr. Hill, you know, you might not know Mrs. Hill. Jewel Hill, he was my dentist. He's the one, I ain't got my bottom teeth in, but I got the top.
Dr. Hill?
Dr. Hill, he was my dentist. Uh-huh. And I used to go up to his wife every summer and plant her yard. She tell me how to do it. And then I said, well, gosh, I want my yard looking good too, you know. My yard is terrible now because I just fasted, you know. This girl spread it with something like to kill all my grass, but I think I'm going to put in new sod. I got some beautiful grass in the back and down inside the house. So that was it, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I sell that stuff to it. That's good sod. Look at that. Look at the one that beautiful sod. Can you see that sod?
Oh, yeah.
That beautiful sod, yeah.
Very nice.
Beautiful sod, yeah.
Yeah. So did you learn how to be a gardener? Or how did
Glenn Lester. You know the Lester? They real estate people used to have that big house back then.
Oh, yeah.
But see, he used to be in the business. He was a real estate. But he sold out to this other guy. And he had me around putting down sod. And after I put out sod with him, then I learned it. And I started putting, I've done a lot of people's yard this time. A lot of people's yard this time. Yep, I started putting sod in their yard. And so that's where it was. He did nothing to do, just lay it out and cut it out, you know, like you want to. Just like a panel, just take a knife and cut it like you want, any kind of heart you want, you know.
So that's. And then you started planting flowers too?
Planting flowers, you know, and then I get the book and just what they want, you know, and then I get it for them and plant it for them.
Where did you buy all your flowers when you first
started? Everywhere. Portland. I done that Miracle Bank down there. Okay. I did that. That's the first job I ever did out on my own. But what happened, he was an architect, and he drew out, you know, he ordered what all he wanted. And he had it in different places, you know. And so I had to put the flowers in different places where he wanted them, you know. So that's the way it was, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyway, anybody can beautify their yard if they want to. They can say, well, I want this particular plant here and this particular plant here. And make the arches and all that stuff around, and you know. So they got to get the shade and stuff, the sunshine and stuff, and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you had to learn about all of that.
Oh, yeah, I had to learn about that. You know, just like going to school, you had to learn about that stuff, you know. Yeah, but it's no problem. I had to learn about it. But it's one thing about it, I don't guarantee nobody no plant, because I've done a lot of people's yard that I told them that I put it in, but I won't guarantee it to live. Because if they don't water, it won't live. And a lot of people I have put in done high as $8,000 worth of work, and they just let their yard die. And sometimes they have me to do it again. I said, look, this is no use. I hate to take your money, but I can't do it for nothing, you know. So if you want me to do it, I'll do it. But I'm serious. But if you want to water this yard, it's fine. You should have me to come up and water. And a lot of them did have me to come up and water, you know. So that's where, you know, mm-hmm. Water is the life, you know. If you don't drink water, you ain't gonna live too long. I don't think so. No, and a tree ain't gonna live either, you know. Yeah.
So your yard is always just beautiful. You decorate it for different times.
Yeah, and then you'll notice the signs be in my yard.
Yeah, you're the sign guy.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, those people come in. But you know, all them guys are my friend. One guy said, you should let this guy put his sign in your yard. I said, why? I said, I'll let you put yours in there. The people know who they want to vote for. They said, do you ever tell anybody who to vote for? I said, well, no, I don't tell nobody who to vote for, but I tell somebody who I like, it's up to you to sign your name on that particular party, you know. Dave Baum, or Ray Baum, he went twice in my yard. He put a sign up, you know. But that's a beautiful, everybody's looking. And I could be out there in the yard, I see, ain't nobody in the town got no benches on the corner but me. I got a bench on that corner and a bench on that corner. And I see old people out there, and I go out and sit out and talk to them, you know. And I enjoy it to a lot of just sitting out talking, you know. Yeah, so that's it.
So you'll allow anyone to put their sign up that wants to?
Anybody want to put a sign up. I never turn nobody down. Because people know who they want, who they don't, you know. I'm next time election come up, I'm going to put a sign, who she never will, let them come and be friendly. Don't knock on my door. Just put a sign up anywhere you want. But you know, you can't put it on the city property. Mm-hmm. Ain't that something? The city won't let you put a sign on their property if you're running for some kind of office. Mm-hmm. No, that's it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why, but that's where it is, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what else you want to talk about?
All right, let's see. What about, what changes do you see in the way that people in Le Grand view different people, ethnic groups? I mean, has there been a change in the way people in this area have viewed minorities, do you think?
Well, I don't know too much about that because I really don't pay that too much attention. Mm-hmm. But there have been a lot of changes in different things, you know.
I mean, have other black families had
problems?